All right, and now let me introduce to you Benjamin Broersma, who has been working for the Dutch Kiesraad, the election council, for several years, and will now talk to us about his experiences with the election software, which incidentally was bought from Germany, so also for the Germans joining, this will be interesting. And he will talk about his experiences from multiple elections and working on the software for that. So give him a big applause. Welcome, Benjamin.
So 844 days, 5 elections, and 6 at least software incidents. Disclaimer, I'm currently still employed by the Ministry of Interior. However, opinions expressed in this talk are solely my own and don't reflect the opinions or beliefs of my employer, the Ministry of Interior. My employer did not pay for my travel, stay, or time here. These days are my days off. And that's for the legal disclaimer. This is my internal government profile. I wonder how long the confetti will stay up after this talk. So the overview of the talk will be a little background about the voting system and the history in the Netherlands. The software we use is OSV 2020 and some information about that. My experiences at the election council and software incidents, and my post-employment experiences and incidents and some future perspective. So the Dutch constitution actually has something about the election system. We have a proportional representation, which is very nice, and elections should be have a secret vote. And everything concerning the rights and elections is regulated by law. Some electoral details. We have a party list proportional representation system, a list PR, and for national elections we have 20 electoral districts, but actually the parties can participate with the same list in all these districts, and effectively it's not really used by a lot of parties. We have the Hunt method, or the largest average, or the Jefferson method for elections of more than 19 seats, and the large remainder for less elections of less than 90 seats. The threshold for national elections is just 1 seat, and for small elections of less than 19 seats is 0.75. Well, that's already a lot of variables, parameters we need to have in this software. And we use paper ballots nowadays again, and they can get pretty large, like on the picture you see here. And we do have postal voting, but only for Dutch people living abroad in national elections. So we're like there are 4 countries in the world that do elections on Wednesday. The Netherlands is one of those countries. And in the Netherlands, we have a history with electronic voting computers. And I also voted on like a NADAP machine you can see here. But thanks to Rob, Willem, and others, this is now history. They even converted like the computer to a bad playing chess computer. And it got banned. I talked with Rob a few days ago. It got banned because of multiple things. But one of the nice things they found was like the machines violated the secrecy of the vote, and that's in the constitution, so it shouldn't be there. And they made like a Christian Democratic Party detector, and you could see from quite a distance which party people voted. And it got banned, luckily, in around 2009. But the ban of the voting machines in 2009 created the desire to at least create some voting software to help the municipalities count these votes. And this was called OSV, Ondersteunende Software Verkiezingen, or Election Supporting Software. And it was created in 2009. and it was used for 10 years until 2019. And there's a list of legal requirements for this software. It should work for all elections. Accidental and intentional misuse should be prevented. It should be open source, although there are some asterisks that doesn't necessarily always need to be open source if it cannot be done open source somehow. Open standards should be used. It should work on multiple operating systems, including an open source operating system. And the authenticity of the software and the data should be checked and should be established. So lots of good rules. They're better than I don't know what the German rules are, but apparently they don't do all this. And the standards use this EML, Election Markup Language, which is an international XML-based standard, and the NL part is for restricting only the parts used in the Netherlands and adding some namespace with specific Dutch information. And it's pretty verbose, like these files can get up to 50 megabytes without space a single line for just one municipality, but they compress really, really well. The numbers are handwritten, hand counted on the polling station, and then later turned into this XML. And in 2012, way before I worked for the election council, I was already working with this election results with my friend Bob. We created some election results visualization software for the Socialist Party, which we're both aligned to, and we parsed a lot of data and mapped them and crossed over with statistical office data. And in 2014, the EML became more broadly available as open data, and we integrated that in our tooling. But we found out not a lot of people were parsing this XML EML data, because it's a bit of a weird format, and people don't like XML somehow, and the files are pretty large. And yeah, we found out lots of bugs, like bit corruption in the files, improper encoding. So we had some contact with the Election Council before, like, please fix your files. But then in 2017, there became some troubles for the software, because the software actually is like a document generating software. These documents can get really large, like 100 plus pages, and that is used for assisting that. And we have like more than 10,000 polling stations for a national election. They send these handwritten counts to the municipality, which are like 350, it used to be more, but it's decreasing a bit due to redistricting. Redivision, sorry. And these cities then enter the counts in the software, and they generate these large documents, and they put this XML on a USB stick and send it over to the voting district. And yeah, some ethical hackers found out the software might not be that good. It has some security issues, some cross-site scripting, not the best password policies, like all the good practices of air gapping, password strength, confirming hashes, double entry are not enforced. They went to the media, and there were parliamentary questions, and the minister bans the software for the elections, like a few weeks before the elections. But then the election council was like, but we cannot really do elections without software. So the minister retracts the ban, but bans the XML transfer on the USB sticks. And one voting district messed up big time. They missed like 10,000 votes, or 9,000 votes to be more precise, because they only partially entered data. They did it only one time, didn't do the extra checks. And eventually, not all data was published, and I was really annoyed by this because I was doing those visualizations and we didn't have the data. Well, Fox IT security company did a pen test, they made it public, it wasn't pretty. And eventually the Fox IT CEO, Ronald Prince, joined 1 year later as a member of the council. So probably he found his findings so important that he wanted to join. Which was good because now there are nerds in the council. And he's gone now, but it didn't change. They replaced a nerd with another nerd, so that's good. Then I came to work for OpenState in 2018, and they were like scraping all these elections data. They scrape like all the polling station locations because it's not centrally open data or something, but they did that. And I started working there and I was so annoyed by the data of the elections also being laid available. We also started doing that. So we gathered a team of at least 10 people, a newspaper also was involved. And we went to all these municipality sites, scraped all the election data before actually the election council published the total results. We scraped everything, we called every municipality that didn't put their info online. And we were able to publish the results faster than the election council. So I was able to make nice visualizations again, the newspaper, and I made some nice publications again. It was all open data, but of course, yeah, it should be done by the municipalities and election council, not by these NGOs. So then it was COVID time, 2020. My contract at the NGO couldn't be renewed. So I was looking for a new job. I did this all transparently on Twitter. So I even had like a vote on which work I should take, and people voted for the election council. So I started working there. So I worked for 844 days, about 2.5 years at the election council, and this was during 5-star elections. Actually, it's more because there was an island council election, but they didn't use the software, and I counted at least 6 incidents due to software misuse, due to software errors. There are more due to software misuse. About the island elections, there's the Netherlands is kind of complicated. We have a kingdom, we have the Netherlands, we have the European Netherlands, we have the non-European Netherlands part, then we have Holland. Basically, the election council is for the Netherlands, and then but effectively the software is only used on the European Netherlands. So there's always a joke of going to the overseas to have the software implemented there, but that never turned out to be done. So knowing elections is like knowing JavaScript. Like a lot of developers think they know JavaScript, well they really don't understand closures, etc. Same goes for elections. A lot of people think they know elections. But when you start working for the election council, you find out you really don't. I used to wonder why the election council needed like 10 or 15 employees they had listed on their site. When I joined, it was more like 20, 30 employees, and I found out this was already like a skeleton staff-sized team. And it takes at least 3 months to really understand what elections are, maybe more like 6, all the processes involved. So it's not just the software is not just used for counting, it's also for the process of creating the voting ballots and some other procedures. So if we go to the software, it's actually 3 parts. The political parties, they use it to create like their candidate list. And there's an EML 210 coming out of that, and lots of documents that need to be signed. Like every candidate on the candidate list need to sign a signature that he wants to be or she wants to be on that list. in that order, have a copy of their ID, etc. Then on one magic day, the day of nomination, you go to the management body and you hand over your stack of papers. This is 6 weeks before the election. And then the election body says, well, you missed like signature, we're going to remove that candidate or fix it within 2 days. And then that creates the ballot paper, which also has an email for that. A list of all the candidates' info, including their addresses. This is not public. An election definition with parameters like how many seats are in the election and different parameters for that. And then there's the part I only knew, like the determination of the results. And that does like the adding of the counting and the seat allocation. So in this new software, some improvements were made over the old software. It was like, it used to be like a single user GUI, at least the two parts of the software, and it was changed to a multi-web system. And it used to use only HTTP, now it used like self-signed HTTPS, normal skippable hash codes, and it used, instead of SHA-1, it used SHA-2. And for the determination of the results, it has now, during installing and during running, had like an air gap check, and it would shut down if you would connect it to internet. And it would enforce double entry, there would was role separation, and the counting XMLs were digitally signed. So this determination of the election results, it's, I don't know if people saw the talk a few days ago. The Dutch actually bought like the German elect software, which was made by EVU, but then changed to the Vote Group. This is the longest file name there is in there. It's pretty long. I will not express my own opinion about this source code or factory worker context patterns, but yeah, there's a guy called Programmer Dude, Arjan van der Putten, and I found it the most cursed Java code base ever. And there's a very interesting thing. This was the new software, but it still contained like an old seed calculation legacy part, which was actually coming from the old software. So it was just the outer area that was new. But actually that was a very good thing that they actually used that legacy seat calculation, because there's a formal description of the seat allocation, which is like 50 pages. Then that's translated to a mathematical description of almost 150 pages. So that's some real work in there, and you probably don't want to tinker with that like randomly. So that was a good thing I think they did. And 6 days ahead of the election, on the day of nomination, the source code is published, it's in the law, it should be externally validated against all the criteria listed earlier, it's also by law. And then since the 2017 incident, the election council decided to also include a public pen test with it. So that's not required, but they do that. It's really nice. So the problem is we had kind of a time squeeze because you cannot really delay your software for elections. So that's interesting. So we had the municipality elections, which were just four local elections of a redivision of some municipalities. I came to work there in September. Process was already going on. Part of the software was already shipped. Within a month, the rest of the software was shipped. We had like extra COVID laws, but it was not affecting the software yet. There were some small errors with documents, like male, female was shown while it shouldn't. Well, okay with that, you can fix that. But we had a bigger problem, and we found out only like 1 week before the election. was the generated election configuration was missing one single parameter, and it was the preferential threshold. Because we have like a party system and you're on the list, but if a lot of people vote on you, for you and you're really low, you're on the last number of the list, but more than, for example, 50% of the people vote for you, you go to the front of the list. But there's a parameter for that, and it should be in the configuration. It wasn't. Which the result would be that all elections would have invalid results. Because this happens in every local election. For almost every party, there is a popular person that will end up on top of the list. So we needed to patch this, but this is pretty annoying because, like I said earlier, it's like patching air gap systems, right? And yeah, we ship the software on DVDs, sealed DVDs. And we did some testing of the DVDs that really contained the software, etc., by picking some of the DVDs, opening some of them. So we asked like all these municipalities, please send over your configuration file, we will patch it for you, send it back, send a new hash. Well, things we did learn was to always do full integration test. We didn't because we had like this old software making the same configuration files and we had lots of testing cases. And yeah, it worked on the old configuration testing files, but it didn't really. And from that day on, we validated every XML going in and out. Because actually, if we validated the XML, it would have been invalid because the parameter was forced to be there. And we forced like this validation also as a new software feature in the software. And it wasn't fetched by the external validation of the seed calculation module because it wasn't in that module. It was in the module before. So yeah, it's a bit of a tricky thing. So then we had the general elections. We're still in 2020. Well, the general elections are in 2021 in March, but yeah, you have quite some time before where you need to distribute software, and the first part of the software needs to be distributed in December before Christmas. That's kind of the deadline we set ourselves. But that module, I was saying it uses all XML, EML, right? This one didn't somehow. I found out in my second week working there, they changed the EML to JSON and they changed it to German JSON and they didn't have like a specification for it, and yeah, we had some information leaks already in this document, like if you created candidates and removed them, it would still be in the file. But I didn't like it, and I also found out it wasn't according to some law. The initial idea was that this software would be run in the cloud. And if it would have run in the cloud, there wasn't like a changing of data because it would all stayed in the cloud and they weren't forced to use EML. Well, turned out running stuff in the cloud with social security numbers, they eventually didn't do that. But they kept a JSON, which was not actually allowed. It should be EML, but we're in such a time squeeze that the supplier couldn't build the XML. So the funny thing is, when I was at first, before I was employed by the election council, they asked me, why are you trying to get this job? A functional administrator of the software, you're not going to program here. Well, I said, well, if there's a bug, maybe I can supply a patch. No, you're not going to do this. 3 months later, my boss said, okay, I think it's best you supply them the software. So I did. So the NLVVP model EML converter, not the whole factory worker context part, they elect provided that to me, but the essential part I built. I need to say I didn't do like Java in 20 years and I got like these really creepy exceptions because I couldn't really change it because I couldn't really touch the parts I wasn't doing in my module, so I needed to do like crazy casting in Java. It took me at least 1.5 nights in December, but we shipped it before Christmas. I asked, like, the supplier was like, this code isn't properly tested, and they were right, it wasn't properly tested. So I said, well, just do like a catch trouble or something. It should be fine, right? It shouldn't crash the code. So they shipped it. So the election, general election, January, February. We had some pre-checking with the documents that came in. We had some crashing on some country code like CW, Curaçao. We got like 2 or 3 new versions a week. And I was thinking, I really believed in the software. Now it has to be okay, right? We got every last bug patched. We almost had a DOS attack by there were being 41 parties, and 41 parties, 20 districts, each having like in total like 1,200 candidates per district, and the software wasn't really keeping up with that. And another nice thing is we have a registry for persons API, but it costs us money. And our German supplier was kind of amazed by this, and I would say rightfully so. But in the Netherlands, we have kind of this system like, yeah, we sometimes try to let the market do stuff, and we then have the API with the market and pay for every check. That was also interesting, because we're doing like 10,000 of these API calls, and they didn't cache stuff. And the weirdest thing is, we had like one party with the same name and the same list handed in their documentation twice. And the software was also not prepared for that, because the software was like, yeah, you're trying to load the same party in again. It has to be a bug. But it wasn't. This party was had like a fight during just before this nomination day, and they did like a really smart thing, but our software couldn't keep up. So I also needed to patch like their files. So this is that very nice week of nomination. Like political parties hand in like this box with all this paper stuff and signatures. And yeah, lots of paper. And this was my desk. It's like at least 3 different computer systems, maybe 4. One completely standalone system, one air gap system, and then the my work system with email. And yeah, there was like political party of the party, and they handed in like this very nice USB stick. But everything was on it was totally useless, so it was just like no XML file. So yeah. But because of that patch I did, we could run the old software in parallel. And the old software generated like this legal document of 772 pages. And the new software had like this nice feature of textual grouping. Didn't display the same error of a candidate twice in all these 20 districts. But the director and legal team, they found like multiple issues with this, that it was like incorrect. Well, it was okay on the screen. And they reported this on Friday morning, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, a.m. And we flipped to the old software around 3 a.m. Then it took more than an hour to get it out of the old system, because it wasn't really optimized for this 41 parties. They did some final checking. Some people didn't sleep. I got some sleep. I went home at 6. This is a picture of that. Then at home, I thought, oh, damn, I need to still type the mail to communication for the press release tomorrow. So eventually I slept at 7, then woke up at 10 to watch like the stream in my bed, like, ah, is everything going okay? And did I do it right? So yeah, small team. And yeah, this was like pretty disastrous. If we didn't have that backup and if we didn't have the crazy software patch of the code, we would have had the wrong document, and we had to create like a document of almost 800 pages by hand or something. I don't know. And yeah, if you delay that, then you also delay like the printing of the ballots. And yeah, we don't know what would have happened if that patch wasn't there. So then more into the general elections in March, I did a podcast with Ronald Prins, the member of the election council, about the hackability of the elections. I think they're not really easy to hack. I still have that opinion. We had an issue of a wrong configuration again, because after the redivision, a municipality was assigned like to the wrong province. And that was already the case in 2019, but my colleagues didn't patch it or forgot it or something. And it should have been configurable, but that was another bug. It wasn't, it was hard-coded. So we needed to ship new software again. So, and that's, yeah, if you ship like DVDs, you need to burn a DVD, send it over by courier, etc. And then there was another nice thing. It was actually due to, again, I think due to programmer dude, he copied the code and put it in on GitHub and said it was CC0 because it didn't have a license file. And the website is CC0, which is correct. So we added a license file with, look at the content yourself, and a security txt, like, because he actually did that already. He said like, yeah, the website has like a non-disclosure, or has like the CVD policy for the NCC, for the National Cybersecurity Center. So we thought, oh, that's actually a nice idea. Let's create a security txt and put like a boilerplate responsible disclosure on this. But then, yeah, then the problem, of course, was that we had to also publicly disclose this stuff. So we had some use of MetaRandom. I was, yeah, annoyed I didn't grab it for it myself. We had somebody complain about the air gap check of 5 minutes being not continuous enough, and we published that. And then to enable the XML transfer, our nice German supplier initially created like a raw RSA base 64 implementation. We changed it a bit by using some decent standards. And we have like different platforms, one for the public key infrastructure, one for the signed XMLs over a separate private governmental network called DigiNetwork. And after we got like the metadata of the municipalities, we found some stuff I hoped for, like wrong computer dates. I've spotted them before, because these municipalities need to install this software on computers, and they mostly have like separate unmanaged computers for this, because you cannot install software on most systems. And they store this very safely in a safe. And then you get like empty RTC battery, of course. And if you boot it up, you need to enter a date. And most of, yeah, doesn't always go well. So luckily, I did like the smart thing of not before now and not after election day plus 3 months, and not now plus a year, because we had quite some incidents where there were just years off. Yeah, and that would have screwed it up. And due to an ambiguous named voting area, some municipalities picked their district municipality, the wrong thing, and we could also notify them for that. But then there was one municipality named Nune, Gerwe and Nederwetten, and they actually did that. They picked like Sertogenbosch, their district municipality. And on the day of election, they tried to correct it by reinstalling and picking their correct name. And then we got like this error. So this municipality is known by their comma, and the software, it crashes. And apparently you should also crash escape like X509 subjects. So this was actually all my fault. I designed, or not really, partially. I mean, this would not have been the case if they would just have used like plain RSA base 64, right? But I said like, yeah, put in metadata, but then of course you need to escape that. Then I monitored it with some bash of how the election results came in. Then we had another bug, non-bugs. I'm not really sure if it happened this election or a year after, but I think it happened during the general elections. This is not a bug. 1 + 2 + 3 = 5. This is by design. Because paper in the Netherlands is leading, if paper is digitalized twice and the user is warned twice, yeah, the generated document will just have 1 + 2 + 3 = 5. So this was a non-bug, but it, yeah, it was a bit of annoying. There are more strict warnings on this now. Yeah. Then the biggest issue we had. This is the thing you don't want. This is like municipality totals are missing some polling stations in their results. This was the worst one. End up though, because of the XML, we could find out what was, at least we could detect it. The reporting unit completely stayed empty, so it didn't have like the voting totals in it. And apparently, like we could detect it with some XPath. Apparently, like not everything was. There was some performance issues at larger municipalities, which had like more than 200 voting polling stations, and they were clicking too fast, and the software couldn't keep up. And yeah. It had like empty stuff. We fixed this one because this was not what we wanted. So just the day before the elections, I checked like if all totals are done correctly. This was done just a few hours before. We published the XML results again on the same day. So that was all fine. Then we had like the municipality elections, again, the same year, right? So elections happen quite often, but you don't notice, like at least two every year. It was another redivision of the elections for new municipalities, fixed all previous issues, some code signing, that was like an issue we had still. Wasn't really easy to install and skip all checks. Then we had the municipality elections of March, regular elections plus Amsterdam, which was a redistricting, but wanted to be on the normal day. And we were really fast with the election results. I did some manual platform for that. But we had one issue though. So I made this platform where they could upload it because there was not really the results used in the election results anymore because the municipality does that themselves, but just to have it published in on the website. And I published them the time they came in. So some came in like at 12 and I published them straight away. And then the mayors were pretty annoyed next day because they had like a press conference where they would announce the results. But the results were, the media was like, yeah, but the results are already on the site, right? So, yeah, that was a bit of my fault. We were too quick. Then the municipality elections of, again, another redivision. I did my final code contribution to the supplier, some client air gap check. client-side error check. It wasn't actually this code. I put this on Twitter, and again, a programmer dude, Arjan van Putten, that he said, like, your code cannot work. But I said, yeah, I tested it, it worked. But he had a better, it indeed wasn't according to the standards, but it worked. So he had a better idea of using WebRTC and checking if you have like a public IP address. Eventually that was used. So thanks, programmer dude. And we changed a lot of flow documentation for the new law. And then I left. Why? Well, there were quite some things. They were creating new software, a cloud-based, built by Cytl. There's a nice CCC about in security nightmares. Cytl is called the zombie that doesn't die because they went bankrupt and then didn't. Because of personnel, there was some new interim managers. I tried to become like the security officer to at least control like this new cloud-based thing. But I was denied twice, and there was quite a high employee turnover. I was, I would say, close to a burnout. And I wasn't really a fan of the new law that was put into place. A new procedure how to determine election results. So then post-employment, well, there were still some bugs. The first thing was the city of The Hague came to me. They said, like, yeah, we have to do like elections without official software. And can you help us? So with an old colleague, we went to The Hague and we helped them. Because somehow we managed to make one election with different software rules, and we hadn't software for that. So we helped them with it. We made them do the election calculation by hand. I even have some nice 140-char AWK, which also does the election results, at least part of it, the main part of it. We had a non-incident because, again, a configuration fuck-up. They forgot to include a file in the config. Luckily, no non-European Dutch people wanted to be elected in the provincial election. But it would have been an incident. And then they changed, after I left the software distribution process, so during the general elections, the snap elections, but still the snap elections take like 3 months in preparation, they changed the platform diversity and created a single point of failure. So they used like one platform, software platform in multiple instances with one maintainer for the software download instead of DVDs, for the public key and the XML, which used to be like separate platforms. They all did it to one, and well, I think that's a bad idea. I hope they will change it next time, and we will not really know when next time is. And then Zerocopter Maarten, Staatsgeheim on Twitter, he found something I should have found myself because I was in this installer files quite often. And he found out the installer was leaking CI/CD secrets, like passwords for the Confluence, and even the worst thing, the password of the Nextcloud, where the supplier used like their shipment of software to the election council. I didn't find this out. He did. He did like a nice responsible disclosure. They fixed it. And it wasn't present, I think. I checked them all. I think it wasn't present in the 2021 general election yet. So that was a positive thing. The future, well, the cloud-based software built by Cytl was eventually cancelled. So that was a good thing. And the new software currently is developed in-house. It's open source, and they're also finally updating after 10 years the EML standard to have more useful stuff in there. So that's very positive. Now the current government wants a new voting system, an unknown new system, with it would be more district-based, and it should be used in the next general election. But the proposing party actually is using the same list in all those 20 districts. So they can already do stuff, but they don't, and they still want a new election system. So my conclusion, even without malice, election software is pretty hard. And patching air gap software is very painful. And we shouldn't really focus on secure election software, but more like on the open process of the election results and have that properly signed. This is also an opinion shared by some other software people in this field. And preferably the voting law should not be changed. That was all.
So now it's time for questions from the audience. We have two microphones here and two microphones there. The Signal Angel, I'll take questions from them while everyone's queuing up. Is there any questions from the internet?
Yeah, there's a question. When the counts get entered into the system, is there more than one person to validate? Same for every step of the process where the data can still be altered? Or what part of the process makes sure that the data that gets into the software is valid?
Yeah, so the software has like multiple roles, and the entry of the counts should be done by multiple users. Of course, somebody could cheat and create two users for one person, but yeah, that would the software cannot check if it's really a new person, but the software enforces like it has two users, and the entry should be done twice by having different users doing the entry. So that's enforced. Hopefully that answers the question.
All right, I'll go with microphone number one.
So you used XML before, and there's a process which is XML schema definition, and you can cross-check it with the XML. How did you implement this with JSON? Because I don't know if there's actually a process which is standardized.
Yeah, of course. That's why I don't like JSON, because normally people, or you can write JSON schema, of course, and validate it, but the tooling is not that evolved as for XML. So for the XML EML standard and for the Dutch EML NL standards, there are XSD schemas, you can validate it, and that is being done now, always. And the JSON is still in use, and I don't think there's a schema for it. But yeah, that's why I don't like it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll go to microphone number three.
Yeah, hi. So in the United States, where we've had multiple controversies since the turn of the century, there has been a push to make election software open source. What are your thoughts?
Election software has to be open source, period. And it should be simple open source, and it shouldn't have like 4,000 libraries involved, because it's really hard to supply chain check 4,000 libraries and keeping up to date 4,000 libraries. No pun to the current software, to the new software or the current software.
We'll go to microphone four and then back to one.
David Chaum proposed a blind signature-based e-voting protocols, where you could, you know, check if your vote is included in the summary. And you know, naively, this seems much simpler. Do you have any reason why such things are not implemented?
You mean e-voting is not implemented?
Well, I don't mean particularly e-voting thing, but I mean the blind signature-based e-voting scheme, if you're familiar. So on your ballot, there would be a signature, and in the end, you get kind of a Merkleized route of all the votes, and you can check, was my vote included? And
Yeah. I think they do part of this in Estonia or not. They have at least some voter verification there, if you vote verification.
I'm not an expert, I don't know.
But
let's summarize then saying
e-voting might be able to be done, but then maybe like 100 or 200 people in the world actually know how the algorithm works. And I think Rob has a nice standard of every 17-year-old with a normal degree should know how the elections work to some way. And if we do e-voting, I think, yeah, nobody really knows how it works. And that's not ideal, I think, in this misinformation age, where I could just say, well, it's wrong, and I can prove it to you, I have some proof, and you cannot really say if then the e-voting is correct or not, because normal people won't understand the e-voting. So that's why I'm not really a fan of e-voting. While it maybe could be done securely, the people who will understand the e-voting will be way too limited, and you wouldn't have like a normal check where in this process, in the Dutch process, where you have like 10,000 polling stations, there are like at least seven volunteers for every polling station, so we have like 70,000 people involved. They all know kind of the how it works. That's way more people involved in the process than with e-voting, and that's why it's a better controlled process, I think.
Thanks.
All right, microphone one. Yes.
Did you have a look into other democratic places and their use of electoral software? And do you have an opinion of what could be standardized and what should be standardized?
Well, XML, the EML, is standardized internationally. It's election markup language. It's not used a lot, but that part is standardized. I think that's the most important thing to standardize. It's nice for statistics that we can do, like at least cross European Union check for different different results. According to the software, I would think it should be very minimal and maybe not reused, because every electoral system is different, has their own rules, has their own parameters. And if we want to be able to make software that can help like all European countries, it will be very complex software and it will have a lot of parameters. So probably we will need separate software per country, and you cannot reuse a lot.
We have another question at microphone three.
Okay, so I really like that election results are available, especially for analysis in this digital form. And as I understand it, this software is mostly to support the election process. So do you think that elections, the election council should be able to run an election purely based on paper? And do you think the election council can actually execute in the municipalities an election purely run on paper?
At least when I left, I would have said an election on paper was at that time not possible. And I doubt if it's possible at the current state. I don't think there's a process for that designed. It's really hard to manually count up 600 polling stations. And even with smaller polling station numbers, the errors get high pretty soon. So I think it's a good thing to use software there, or at least something. And we don't have a method for paper to actually count up 600 polling stations, because it's not just 600 polling stations, it's 600 polling stations with like 1,000 individual or 1,200 individual numbers. So it's quite a matrix. And if you're doing that on paper and you're not writing the numbers nicely, it gets messy pretty quick. So, but we should have a backup plan. So maybe the new backup plan will be, we have the old software, which is at least somehow battle tested, and we will have the new software. So at least we have a software backup, maybe. Maybe follow up because Tish, you also had a nice repo of you published the code on GitHub. I think I also asked you for the new code to take it down, which I think you also did. So thanks for that, because the license was some dubious. But sorry, can you follow up on your question?
So it sounds like you have two implementations of the software. So you have two independent implementations, which are pretty good standard. And the trade-off is not obscure software bugs that we as techies really think are important to fix, but it's almost guaranteed manual process fuck-ups, which you can really not prevent because it's human work. So maybe this is a local maximum. It's a local maximum.
Where we're at now, yeah, maybe. Yeah. But maybe we can do more like on this publication of digitally signed files and do it earlier. Yeah, that's.
Another question at microphone 3.
Do you have a standardized process to deal with partial or complete recounts of the elections?
Yes, it's in the law. So that also happens. So before I left, it could only be done if the seat allocation would be changed. So you could only do a recount of a polling station when you would be in doubt and would know like, this is such a huge mess up, we should recount it. Which was pretty annoying, because sometimes we had like mayors on the phone like, we are pretty sure there is a mess up here. And then they really couldn't recount because the change would be that small that there wouldn't be like a change of seats. And in the new legislation, which was in place after I left, you could recount all the time, anytime you wanted, because of any doubt. That was like the other side of the spectrum, and that, yeah, municipalities were not that happy with this thing, because I think they needed to recount like 10, 20, 30% of all polling stations.
And in those cases, how could you ensure that like the correct number of updated files is input into your system?
It's a good question. I was not involved with this new procedures, but it's indeed tricky. And I think the election council tried to keep up with publishing the results ahead, but at least in 2023, they really couldn't keep up with publishing the XMLs on time. The year after, they improved and it went better.
I'd like to check again with the signal angel. Are there any more questions from the internet?
No.
All right then. Thank you, Benjamin. Let's have another applause, please.